This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour of the show is brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of whatever your insurance needs are. They'll do everything they can to save you money. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We get right out of the gate with the outstanding Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. And Rich, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
It was great to see you on Saturday, by the way. I know I didn't really get a chance to talk to you that much. You and Wogan Rich were deeply entwined there. So.
Yeah, we were, unfortunately. But, yeah, good to talk to you now, though.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you now. So, Rich, I always refer to this as Blue-White Game Over Reaction Monday. So.
That's good, because I agree.
But just a general observation, and maybe in part backed up by conversations you had with players afterward, what were your thoughts?
I'll get to the main point. I'll back into this. The first thing is obviously with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen not playing in the Blue-White game, it was interesting to watch Quinton Martin and Cam Wallace. And we understand Cam Wallace has had a good spring. And to see Martin on the field for the first time in person, it was nice. They both had productive days, and they're competing, obviously, to be the number three running back, which is significant. I mean, it is. It's not, at the top of the list of priorities, but sure. Got a chance to see Audavian Collins, who, I heard a lot of good things about, play at cornerback. That was good. Same thing for A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber. But to me, the biggest takeaway I had from the game, there's another, the wide receiver situation, which has been talked about, but the fact that Abdul Carter looked like a natural defensive end. Again, he's not going against first-team guys. I get it. But that quickness off the ball is something that is almost unteachable. And in talking to him after the game, I asked him, is the door still open for you to play some linebacker? And he, was very, very coy about it. And I got the feeling that he will be used at both positions come the fall because of how the rotation is at defensive end. They've got so many talented defensive ends. I can see that happening, that he's going to be used at both positions in the fall. I don't know that for a fact. That's just my take after talking to him.
And I would say this, and it was something Jack and I brought up in the broadcast on our side on Saturday, and we talked about the fact that as a defensive end, Penn State over the years has used zone blitz. Adisa Isaac ended up being really good at it. When you have a guy that's played linebacker before, now playing that spot, it's a more natural part of playing that spot, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could see, I thought he did really well in coverage last year. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
When he dropped into pass coverage. And yeah, I could see that, and it makes it easier, it makes it natural. But I can see situations, Steve, where it's third and two or fourth and one or whatever, and Tom Allen wants to put three linebackers on the field to stop the run and move him, to linebacker for that down and bring somebody else in up front. Right. I mean, I could see that. I mean, he's, I was looking over my notes from an interview I did with Manny Diaz last year, and he went on and on about how versatile Abdul Carter is, and he mentioned, what he did, what Manny's defense did in 22 with Tig Brown, and about moving him around and being in different places. Now, I haven't had a chance to talk to Tom Allen one-on-one, but I can see that. I can see them using Abdul Carter that way, and I brought up in my column that in the print edition today, I remember that Brent Pry designed to hold his defense in 2020 around Micah Parsons for good reasons. You know, and then of course we know what happened. Micah opted out because of COVID, but to use him in multiple ways, and I could see Tom Allen doing that. Again, I don't know that's going to happen, but I certainly can see that.
Yeah. There'll be a lot made, of course, the quarterbacks. If the stadium were on the coast, they would have been referring to the winds as gale force on Saturday. I mean, just in general, not just your thoughts, but the conversations afterward about them, because the conversations afterward deal with the other 14 practices.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, things that I've heard, and you obviously you've seen at least some practices. I have not seen more than, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes in person, but I know that both people had a good spring. That's what I've been hearing. I've been told that, and I heard Drew's had a good spring, and I just don't put a lot of stock into like a scrimmage like that. You know, like there's certain, like, you know, and again, the weather was just awful. I mean, the sun was out, and that's about all you can say positively.
Yeah.
I was out in the parking lot before the game, and I couldn't believe how much the wind was gusting. And honestly, you can't really draw much from that, you know, like what happened. But I think the other thing, Steve, as you know, that offense was as vanilla as as it can be. Yeah. And, you know, Andy Kotelnicki, who I talked to almost 2 weeks ago now, I mean, we know there's going to be a lot of motion, there's going to be a lot of shifts, a lot of pre-snap movement. There was none of that on Saturday. None. You know, and for good reason. I understand why. So, you know, it's hard to draw. I think the fact that Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, and the only receiver I spoke to after the Blue White game Saturday, Caden Saunders, their eyes lit up when you asked about the offense, the new offense, and about Andy Kotelnicki. And that says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because that what's interesting about that is, I think idealistically in a practice, let's just say it's a five-minute period, there's 17 reps in the period, James Franklin is the coach, one way or the other wants it to be 9-8. Mm-hmm. And for him, during the course of the spring, the defense won its fair share of reps. The offense won its fair share of reps. And I think you come out of it, when that happens, you do feel better about what you're seeing out there, because that's what they're getting. If that doesn't happen in the blue-white game.
Right, right. I mean, you and I have seen, I can't even imagine combined how many blue-white games. Oh. And I never cease to amaze how fans, other people, just draw conclusions from a 2-hour scrimmage. It just blows my mind, and I've seen it repeatedly over the last 35 years, and I'm just surprised. I'm still surprised by that today, that people are drawing conclusions about things. So I, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. You know what you see. Okay, you know this and that. You know, me being from Reading, I spent a lot of time watching Javon Williams.
Yes,
because he's from our area, and I wanted to see him live. Mm-hmm. He did okay. I mean, he was going against Jameel Lyons, who we know has an unbelievable burst. And you know, that's what I wanted to watch. Like, okay, that you can see things. But really, other than that, there's, you know, other than the things that I've already mentioned, you really can't draw many conclusions from what happened Saturday.
Well, yeah, Javon Williams and Jamel Lyons had some interesting confrontations during the course of the.
Yes, they
faced
did.
Off each other a lot during the course of the spring.
Yes.
and you and I have probably seen a combined, maybe better than 90 of these combined.
I've seen close to 40. You know, when I was, including when I was in school.
Okay, and I'm up to 45.
Uh-huh.
You know, look, and I'm trying to think how many of these things I broadcast, 26 or 27
of
them.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever. But I'll lend this perspective. I understand people drawing conclusions from it, and that's why you and I come on and talk about it to give some mm-hmm. perspective and context to it, because that's the only exposure they have.
True. Right? That's a good point. That's right? A good point, Steve. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only thing they see. And as I tell people, I said, yeah, I saw the other 14 practices. Okay.
Yeah.
So it gives you so I can at least, and you can obviously give some context to what's going on.
Yeah. I wish I could see as many practices as you and for longer, but obviously that's not going to happen. And I understand, you know, what can I do? But, the point is, you're right. Fans see it, and I don't know how many people are watching on TV. You know, obviously it wasn't a great crowd size-wise, and it was because of the weather, and I understand that. But you're right. It's their opportunity to see some of these players. It was my first opportunity to see some of these guys live, you know, other than 10 minutes of practice.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think... I think the big question going forward here now is about the wide receivers.
Sure.
Are they good enough? You know, and I obviously asked James that question after the Blue-White game, and he said they are. Drew Aller said they are. You know, the receivers in the room said, you know, we're ready to go forward here. You know, nobody, mentioning, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith's expected transfer. So that's going to be interesting to follow here as the portal opens. You know, does Penn State pursue anybody in the portal? I don't know. You know, or, you know, can they attract somebody out of the portal? I don't know. Only time will tell.
And the portal, by the way, will open up officially tomorrow.
Correct.
And, and James, I'm going to guess that when it was brought up, he mentioned, I probably used the words honest conversations. Would that be correct?
He mentioned that in response to another question, yes.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. The players give their feedback, the position coach inserts their feedback, then they meet with James. They go from there. That's the process moving forward for them. And that's the way it is. What is this will be a philosophy question here.
Okay.
what is more interesting to you now? Is it the games or is it the off season with all the movement?
Oh man, that's a great question, Steve. The games to me are still number one. Mm-hmm. But obviously everything else that has changed in college football over the last 5 years. It's become similar to the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, even Major League Baseball with the player movements. And we could spend, I'm sure you've spent hours upon hours talking about this. You know, the portal isn't going anywhere. That's not going to change.
Right.
But I think I mentioned this last time. I was with you. I can see collective bargaining happening. I just think that's where we're headed. Yeah, I just think that's where we're headed to put some, as James Franklin and other coaches have said, to put some guardrails up around this, because you know, roster management used to be I don't know how many months of the year. Well, now it's 12 months of the year, and every day. Every day they're managing. Division I college football coaches are managing their roster. And that means checking on their guys. Are they going? Are they staying? What are they? That kind of thing. And then doing their diligence by checking the portal. you know, that they're doing their due diligence by doing that. So, yeah, it's it's interesting. It's also tiring. I will say that.
Yeah. I would think from a writer's point of view, you know, the blue-white game's over, you've been done interviews and used to do features in the past off of that, and then there was that kind of lull. And probably the transfer portal takes care of the lull in terms of generating stories. I'm just, you know, I'm spitballing here. Right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now, honestly, you know, I'm done with what I have left from the blue-white game. So what I'll do over the next month or so is work on freelance stories for Town and Gown's Penn State Football Annual, and I'll work on my Penn State content for Lindy's College Football, which I've done for almost three decades. That's what I usually have done this time of the year, but I also now have to keep an eye on the portal. Yeah, for sure.
So what are your deadlines on each one of those, on Town and Gown and Lindy's?
Oh, gosh.
Where you're able to get in as much of the latest information as possible.
Well, Town and Gown is later than Lindy's. Like, we could go now probably sometime in June with that. And I don't want to speak for our editor, Mark Brackenberry, who does a terrific job. But Lindy's usually... And I haven't heard from them yet, but this is typical. They want the stuff by the first week of May. And the national edition, they want that, like, that's the first thing they want. So sometimes they've wanted that before the end of April. Okay. And other times, then, you know, the Big Ten edition of Lindy's, it's a little later, maybe a week or 2 weeks later. You know, usually by May 10th. I have to have all that done.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have all the player movements in there. No, you don't.
Right.
No.
Right. And again, for me, it's an easy call. I have so much fun broadcasting a game. The games are exponentially not even close for me, but that's because of the job I have. I mean, look, I've got the candy store jobs. So, you know.
Yeah, but the two things that I. The reason why I'm still doing this is, one, the games.
Yeah.
I love writing. I mean, it could be about anything in sports, but the games, those Saturdays are, you know, most Saturdays anyway, are special. I mean, you know, sometimes they'll be playing on Thursday or Friday, but Saturdays are special. I love that. And secondly, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, is the people on the Penn State football beat. You know, they're some of my best friends.
Yep.
Really good people. I'm not going to go down and mention names because, I don't want to forget anybody. But since I started for the Reading Eagle in 1989 covering Penn State, the camaraderie on the beat has been terrific. And, you know, there are people we've lost, as you know, over the years. Yeah. Jerry Keller in particular, he was my best friend. And there are other people, but to see them, like Saturday, that was great seeing everybody Saturday. And then seeing everybody during the course of the season, that's very special to me.
I've mentioned on the show what an awesome group that happens to be, because it is. I mean, it really is, which is great.
Thank you, Steve. But I am very proud of the work that the people who cover this team put out.
Yes.
And I know many have been recognized in writing contests, and I think, you know, I've heard people who wouldn't know scoff at the people who cover Penn State for various reasons, I'll just say. And I would defend the integrity of this group. I would defend it against anybody.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. completely agree with that, and I've said that before on the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't hesitate to say that because I know for a fact it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Rich, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I know you jumped in late, and that was really cool, but that's the kind of guy you are.
Anytime, Steve. You know that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. Brilliant work, as always. All right, we'll come back. All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.